Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you this morning that's very near and dear to my heart. It comes from a verse of Scripture that is very dear to my heart. This is one that I need often. This is a verse that I need to be reminded of often. It's in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 8. This verse and this subject brings me great comfort. Great comfort. I need it, and I know we all need it. And I'm very thankful to the Lord for putting this verse in His Scripture. Every verse is needful. It's wonderful. But sometimes certain verses bless us in a way that we just need them. And I'm very thankful to Him for putting this in His Word. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Nothing sounds better to me than that. Nothing sounds better to me. In this world that we live in, and in the trouble that we live in, all of the hardships, all of the heartaches, all of the pain, all of the sorrow, it's all around us. It's everywhere we look, everywhere we turn. Trial and tribulation and difficulty and sin. It's all because of sin. The wickedness of sin and the filth of sin. And sometimes we just need a break from it. Sometimes we need just a moment of relief from the trouble and heartache that this flesh brings to us. We bring it on ourselves and we bring it on each other. And sometimes we need some relief. And our Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You come unto me and I'll give you rest." Come close to your God and your God will come close to you. The true and living God, not the God of our imagination. That God can't do anything. The God of our imagination is just a graven image that we've made up. And like He said so many times, they make their gods, they make their idols, and they carve them, and they set them up, and they have no hands. They can't do anything. They have no legs. They can't go anywhere. But the true and living God of the Bible, the true God who created all things and created this world and created us and created a way of salvation, the true and living God, come close to that God, and that God will come close to you. Well, I guess the first question we ask is, where is He? Where is He? If we're going to come close to Him, where is He? My heart's desire, I'm just speaking personally to you. I'm speaking from my heart. My heart's desire is to do that. I want to draw nigh to Him. I want to come close to Him. So, where is He? Where is the true and living God? Well, David said, "Our God is seated in the heavens." He is seated right now in the heavens, and that's a comforting thing to know that He is seated on His throne, ruling everything, ordering and controlling everything. He is right now in the heavens. He is in the heavens, but that's not the only place that He is. He is there, but that's not the only place that He is. If you want to turn with me over to Psalm 139, Psalm 139, verse 8 says, David wrote, If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Speaking of the Lord. He said, if I make my bed in hell, if I lay down in the grave, behold, thou art there. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me and put me in the ground, I'll trust him. And David said, if I die and they bury me in the ground, thou art there. Behold, thou art there. You're with me. You're with your people, even in death. He said in verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, anywhere I could go, the farthest place from here that I could go, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. There was a man, very dear man to me, a man I knew and loved, and he passed away a few years ago. He pastored a church in Madisonville, Kentucky, a dear group of believers in Madisonville, Kentucky. But when he was a young man, he was going into the service, going into the military. And as he was getting on a bus, leaving his family, he was going to head out overseas. His dad said to him, last thing he said to him as he was getting on the bus, he said, son, God goes everywhere. God goes everywhere. Remember, God goes everywhere. God is everywhere. Wherever you are right now, God is everywhere. There is no place where we cannot draw nigh to Him. Wherever you are right now, there is no place on this earth where you cannot draw nigh to Him. He's everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? He's everywhere. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, how do we do that? How do we draw nigh to God? Well, first, we can do it with the heart. We can do it with this heart, with the inner thoughts and the inner emotions of this heart. We can draw nigh to His blood. We can draw nigh to His blood. May the Lord cause us to enter into this and cause us to understand this. And may He cause us to do this. With this heart, with the inner man, we can draw nigh to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw nigh to the blood that He shed. He hung Himself on a cross. Yes, they laid hold of Him and they put nails into Him, but God hung Christ on the cross. Christ said, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down. And Christ willingly shed that blood. He shed His own blood for the sin of His people. And we, with this heart, we can come so near to that blood. So near to the blood that cleanses us from all sin. So near, we can enter into it. That's how near. So near, we can enter into it. A woman named Fanny Crosby, an old songwriter, she wrote many hymns in the hymnal that we use. And she wrote a song, and the song says, Lord Jesus, keep me near the cross. Keep me near the cross. Wherever I am, keep me near the cross. Keep this heart near the cross. How near, Miss Crosby? How near do you want to be to the cross? She wrote, in it. In the cross. In the cross. That's how near. In the cross. The cross is not a piece of wood. The cross is His blood. The blood that was shed. Lord Jesus, keep me near the cross. There is a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream that flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross. in what Christ gave on the cross, be my glory forever. May that be my glory forever. May my heart rejoice in that forever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. We can draw near to His blood. Draw near to His blood. In the heart, wherever you are right now, draw near to that blood. We can draw near to the acceptance and every blessing that we have in Him through that blood. Because of that blood, we can draw near to the intercession that He has made for us with that blood. We can draw near to the mercy we've received in that blood. We can draw near to that. We can draw near to His full, abundant payment that He made for us. Over in Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Let's remember that. Let's remember that. Call ye upon Him while He is near. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." He will abundantly pardon. Abundant forgiveness. That's what we have. Abundant acceptance. One man wrote, "Near, so very near to God, I could not nearer be. So near, I could not nearer be. For in the person of His Son, I am as near as He." If I'm in Christ, I'm as near to God as Christ is. How near is Christ to God? So near that He is God. We can draw near to the thought and the glory of what we have in Him because of His blood. In that same song, Fanny Crosby wrote, "Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me." I love the thought of that. I just love the thought of that. Can't you see her, this woman, writing from her heart, writing from drawing near with her heart? Can't you see her, a trembling soul? Are you a trembling soul? I am. I'm a sinner who needs the grace and mercy of God. And Miss Crosby was also a trembling soul. And I can just see her coming up and in the heart, collapsing at the foot of the cross. And love, as He hangs there, love is a person. The love of God is a person. As He hangs there, He looks down at her and He cries, "Father, forgive her. She knows not what she does. Be merciful to her. God, be merciful to her, the sinner." We can draw nigh to that. We can come very near to that. We can draw nigh to His Word. He's given us His Word. Don't you love His Word? Precious Word. Over in Romans chapter 8, our Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to write in verse 28, Romans 8, verse 28, "We know," and this is the promise of God, the promise of His Word to us, "we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Every soul that God, according to His purpose, called. Every soul that God set His affection on and chose to show mercy to, He said, "I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful." Every soul God chose to save them in the blood of Christ and call them by His Spirit. For every one of those souls, He is not working for their good. He is not working hard so good might come to pass. Everything that takes place, all things are ordered and sure, and they're all working together. They work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose, to them that love God, the true and living God of Scripture. I have good news, and I have good news. Which one do you want to hear first? Here's the good news. You are sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. People hear that and say, oh, that's not good news. No, I wish I was not a sinner. But here's the good news. Christ came to save sinners. Christ came to save sinners. I am a sinner, and you are a sinner. And I pray God reveals that to us. We didn't used to be sinners. And I'll prove it to you with this. John said in 1 John chapter 1, if a man say he has no sin, are you a sinner? Oh, no, I'm not a sinner. Now, I used to be, but I'm not anymore. If a man say he has no sin, he makes God a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, are you a sinner? I am. I am. But Christ came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. Here's some more good news. You're dead. I'm dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We can't do anything. I'm not here this morning to tell you what you need to do in order to be saved. I'm here to declare you're dead and I'm dead. You can't do anything to save yourself. I can't do anything to save myself. And we hear that and naturally think, well, that's terrible news. That's terrible. Yeah, but this word says, the promise of this word says, and you hath he quickened. You hath he given life to. He quickened us together with Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians, and he told them in that letter, they put me in prison. They've laid hold of me and put me in prison. The natural response is, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible news. I hate to hear that. Paul said, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Good news. It's for the furtherance of the gospel. How could a negative thing be for the furtherance of the gospel? How could a setback, being put in prison, Paul was supposed to go out preaching. How could a setback be for the furtherance of the gospel? Romans 8 verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Had Paul not been put in prison, he probably would not have had time to write a letter to the Philippians. And how many believers have now read the letter to the Philippians? And God bless their heart by his Spirit through the promise of the Word. We can draw nigh to these things. We can draw nigh to his Word and draw nigh to the promise of his Word. Draw nigh to his blood. Draw nigh to what his blood means for us. Acceptance, forgiveness. We can draw nigh to his Word, his promise. In Psalm 122, Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We can draw nigh to his people. We can draw nigh to believers who truly believe on Christ alone. Our Lord said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. That's what he said. I'm in the midst of them. In Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So good for brethren, true brethren. He said, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. It's like that precious ointment, that anointing, that soothing oil, that sweet-smelling oil, that sweet savor that ran down Aaron. And it's like the Dew of Hermon, that mountain that is snow-covered in the winter. And in the spring, the sun comes out and it melts the snow and it floods rivers of living fresh water down to Zion. It's just precious, wonderful, beautiful. God's people love being together. They love being together. The reason that God's people come together is to be nearer to their God. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of you." So we come together to be nearer to Him. Through praying, and prayers of the heart, true prayers of the heart, we can come straight up to the throne of grace, the throne of God's grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can go straight up to the throne of God through prayer, through the blood of Christ, through the Son of God. We draw nigh to God because He said He will draw nigh to us. He'll draw nigh to us. He will get closer to us. Let's do that. Let's do that. He will draw nigh to us. Now, how close will He get to us? If we draw nigh to Him, how closely will He draw nigh to us? Well, Luke chapter 5 says in verse 12, "It came to pass when He was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." He drew nigh to Him. He came before Him. He fell on his face and he said, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." Verse 13 says, "And He," the Lord, "put forth His hand and touched Him." Touched Him. How near will the Lord get? He'll reach out and touch us. He'll reach down and touch us. And He said to that man, "I will. Be thou clean, I will." How does our Lord touch us? How does He reach down and touch us? He touches us with His Word. He touches our heart by His Spirit through His Word. He said in Isaiah 41, "I will hold your right hand," saying, "Fear not, I'll help you." That's what His Spirit says through His Word. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what Romans 8 says. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He will. He'll communicate His love. He will truly help in time of need. He will take His gracious words, and He'll speak them to our hearts. Now back in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 says, "He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He'd opened the book, He found the place whereon it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him." On Him. "And He began to say unto them, 'This day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" The gracious, gracious words. Draw nigh to Him through His Word, and He will draw nigh to us through His Word. Now, this is the beauty and the glory of the gospel. Here's the sweetness of drawing nigh to Him. We cannot draw nigh to Him before He draws nigh to us. A moment ago in Isaiah, we said, let's remember, while He is near, If we desperately need Him, do you need Him? Do you want so desperately to draw nigh to Him? If we need Him, and if we in the heart draw nigh to Him, it means He has already drawn nigh to us. That's what it means. We draw nigh begging and hoping and pleading and needing for Him to draw nigh to us. And that means He has already drawn nigh to us. If we love Him, it's only because He first loved us. He moves first. He draws first. So when we draw nigh to Him, we don't have to wait for Him to draw nigh in return. He has already drawn nigh to us. Why would He do that? Why would He do that? It's because He loves His own. He loves His own. No man can come to Him except the Father which hath sent Christ draw that man. And if we draw nigh to Him, then it means He's the one drawing us. He is pulling us close to Him. Absolute kindness. That's what it is. Absolute kindness. If God draws nigh to us, here's the reality. If God draws nigh to us, then we will draw nigh to Him. He will cause us to approach Him. He will cause us to draw nigh to Him. And the closer we draw nigh to Him, the more we'll need Him. The more we will love Him. The closer we get. There's a song, and it says, I'm thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to me. And the closer we become, the more we say, as the song says, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Please draw me nearer. To the cross where thou hast died, draw me nearer to thy precious bleeding side. Here's the commandment to us. Through the Word of God, He said, draw nigh to God because He has drawn nigh to you. May the Lord enable us to do that in the heart. Truly, draw nigh to Him. Till next week, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.